ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड गजेंद्रस प्रेयर्स ऑफ सरेंडर टेक्स्ट नंबर 13 क्षेत्रज्ञाय नमस्तुभ्यं सर्वाध्यक्षाय साक्षिणे पुरुषायात्ममूलाय मूलप्रकृतये नमः. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the Supersoul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the Supreme Person, the origin of material nature and of the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the Supreme Complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the Lord says, Chetragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva chetreshu bharata. O scion of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Every one of us is thinking, I am this body or this is my body. But actually, the truth is different. Our bodies are given to us by the Supreme Proprietor. The living entity, who is also Kshetrajna or the knower of the body, is not the body's only proprietor. The actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Kshetrajna. For example, we may rent and occupy a house, but actually the owner of the house is the landlord. Similarly, we may be allotted a certain type of body as a facility with which to enjoy this material world. But the actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Sarvadhyaksha because everything in the material world works under his supervision. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, wherein the Lord says, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam. This material nature, working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. From Prakriti or material nature come so many varieties of living entities, including aquatics, plants, trees, insects, birds, animals, human beings, and demigods. Prakriti is the mother, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Father. Aham bija prada pita. Prakriti can give us material bodies, but as spirit souls, we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mamaivangsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The living entity, being part and parcel of God, is not a product of this material world. Therefore, the Lord is described in this verse as Atma Mula, the original source of everything. He is the seed of all existences. Bijam Mam Sarvabhutanam. In Bhagavad Gita 14.4, the Lord says, Sarvayoni Shukanteya Murtaya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradah Pita. It should be understood that all living entities in all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Plants, trees, insects, aquatics, demigods, beasts, birds, and all other living entities are sons or parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. But because they are struggling with different mentalities, they have been given different types of bodies. Mana shashthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Thus, they have become sons of prakriti or material nature, which is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living entity in this material world is struggling for existence, and the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death in the evolutionary process is full surrender. This is indicated by the word Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I am really feeling very much sorry for all of you in the audience, and particularly for myself also. For you, because obviously we all were expecting His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to speak, and he was scheduled to speak. But then, what can I say? I'm really very sorry to be letting you down on that count. And I feel sorry for myself that I have to undergo this tribulation and trial. The shoe is quite big. So if I stumble somewhere in between, please blame the shoe. Anyways, on a serious note, one of our very senior devotees of our congregation, who has been associated with our congregation of more than almost 2 decades, was rendered invaluable service throughout, is also a counselor, is right now in the hospital, having suffered cardiac arrest, but he underwent some surgery, but still his condition is, to some extent, unstable. So most of the devotees, including Radhanath Swami Maharaj, have gone to the hospital. And therefore, we also request all the devotees who are present here to kindly offer a prayer unto their Lordship, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, that as may be their wish, they may please offer their full protection unto this wonderful devotee, Trivikram Prabhu. So please, throughout the day today, as and when all of you get some opportunity, all of us get an opportunity, please let us offer a prayer unto the Lordships. And before I begin, I would also like to seek the blessings of His Grace Srinathji Prabhu. He is much more qualified to be sitting here and speaking. But then Srinathji Prabhu to most of us is like our guide, our senior family member, and therefore he sometimes allows us to speak so that he can see whether we are developing properly or not. So please, Srinathji Prabhu, kindly give your blessings and also some intelligence. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్య జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నిత్యానంద సహోదితో గౌరదే పుష్పవంతో చిత్రోషంధోతమోనుదో ఉగ్రోపి అనుగ్రహే వాయం స్వభక్తానాం నృకేశ్వరి కేశరీ వసుపోతానాం అన్యేషాం ఉగ్ర విక్రమ. సో శ్రీమాన్ గజేంద్రజీ హియర్ ఇస్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ హిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ అన్ టు ది సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. ఇఫ్ యూ ఫాలో దిస్ sequence of prayers as they are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam and try to analyze it, especially the mood that is happening through the previous couple of verses. Just two verses previous, Gajendra is praying unto the Supreme Personality who has appeared in various incarnations to perform his activities, to attract the living entities, and to protect his devotees. And having glorified the Supreme Lord in such a way, the previous verse, this verse, and more clearly in the next verse, we'll see that at the back of his mind is the strong impression of his predicament. He has been caught by this crocodile, and finding no other refuge, he is now praying unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Previously, when Gajendra was trying to, as the king of all the elephants, especially in the heavenly planets, he was mightily powerful. So in his previous to praying unto the Supreme Lord, we find that Gajendra was completely sure, for he had direct perception of his own strength, he had realization of his own strength, he also knew that his relatives, his friends, they were also very powerful. So based on his previous realizations of his bodily strength, of his own intelligence, as well as of his family members and friends, Gajendra was very sure that he could overcome the crocodile. Now, when he's praying unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this lifetime, he has no direct experience of the Lord's presence or mercy. The Lord is not there. So in one sense we can say that maybe Gajendra was not so sure whether this Lord is present or not. There could be a moment of doubt. It's possible. However, we see that Gajendra has immense faith. Although he cannot perceive the Lord, previous to this, in his entire life as an elephant, he had never ever experienced the presence of the Lord, either through his own prayers or efforts, or maybe by the Lord's mercy. He had no experience of that. Still, he has this strong faith. And yesterday in the lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was stressing on this point that Gajendra was taking a lotus flower that was only available to him, and with his trunk he was offering it into the air. Now from ordinary point of view, Maharaj was saying, it would appear that Gajendra was crazy. You know, sometimes on the street if you find a man suddenly with his hands up calling out to someone, children are smiling and laughing and saying, "Mummy, mummy, look at him. A cartoon is there. Crazy person." And sophisticated people in suits, ties, they're looking at him and they think, "Oh, let me take the other path, you know, the other footpath. We do not know what this person might do." So they try to avoid him. Maybe make a joke out of him later on when they are with their friends.
So here is Gajendra doing this almost a similar activity.
However, Gajendra was, he knew that he had no other recourse. He knew that there was no other shelter. And was completely dependent on the shelter of the Supreme Lord, calling out to the Supreme Lord, to whom in this life he had never called out. He just remembered his prayers from a previous lifetime as King Indradyumna. And somehow he had that faith.
Now, from one point of view, that faith is always there within the living entity.
Prabhupada, throughout this purport, is mentioning how the living entity is part and parcel of God. And to have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the natural disposition of the living entity. The whole material affair is somehow or the other covering up that faith. That faith, that knowledge is being covered up. Hence, therefore, it is called an artificial measure for finding some enjoyment.
So Gajendra here in this prayer, at the back of his mind, is that fear. Not fear whether the Supreme Lord will help him or not, but the fear of his material situation. That this crocodile is very soon engulf me.
Two words here. There are some words that Prabhupada, actually four of them that Prabhupada takes from the words and stresses on them. But two words that I would like to slightly dwell on. One is Sakshine, and the other is Sarvadhyaksha. Sakshine means he is the witness, and Sarvadhyaksha means he is the supreme controller. Adhiaksha means under whom or under whose eyes everything functions. So Sarva Adhiaksha, everything functions under his direction. That is Sarvadhyaksha.
In Vrindavan, there is a well-known story about Krishna and Balram and Mother Jashoda relating to the Lord's power or his quality of being the supreme controller. This was mentioned some days back by Braj Bihari Prabhu also on Balram Jayanti appearance, Lord Balram's appearance day. That Mother Jashoda had tied up Krishna to the grinding mortar, and then Krishna became famous as Damodar later on. But when Krishna was tied by Mother Jashoda, he was very fearful, and Mother Jashoda was also, her mind was quite agitated because she would not often tie Krishna. First of all, she had got agitated that Krishna was being so naughty. He first became angry. Then he broke the pot, destroyed the very articles which Mother Yashoda was trying to prepare for him. And to top it all, he was distributing the wares to the monkeys. Now, because in Bombay there are no monkeys, so maybe it's very difficult to understand what it means when you distribute fare to monkeys. When you distribute something to monkeys, it means that you don't care for it, because monkeys don't care what you offer to them. Right? In Ramayana, when Hanumanji, he when they have come back to Ayodhya and Lord Ram is offering everyone. Now, somehow or the other, Lord Ram feels so much indebted to all of his devotees. He says, I have to offer them something. So whatever he has in terms of his wealth, he's offering each and every devotee. And these two qualities here, Lord Ram, somehow or the other, by the potency of Yoga Maya, it is not manifesting. Sarvadhyakshan Sakshine. The Lord has distributed to every single devotee, taking particular notice of each one and their service. But he forgets, somehow or the other, Hanuman has been missed out. So everyone leaves. Lord Ram is relaxing on his throne. Mother Sita is next to him. Lakshmanji is standing, and Lord Ram has got a contented smile on his face. And then he sees Hanumanji is coming in into the sabha. And Lord Ram is saying, oh my God, where were you, Hanuman? I mean, I don't have anything now, right now. So Lord Ram is really feeling very much pained, at the same time ashamed. How could I have forgotten Hanuman here? Mother Sita, she is the mother of the universe. At the same time, she is the Lord's energy. Therefore, she knows the Lord's mind perfectly. As does any chaste wife, she always knows the mind of her husband. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, a wife is called as Ardhangini. Anga does not just refer to the body, Anga also refers to the mind. My sister, second cousin, this was some years back, she got married. And in India, ladies perform this Karwa Chauth. Karwa Chauth for long life of the husband. So this was a few years back. I was just talking to them on the phone, and my brother-in-law was on the phone and said, I'm also fasting today. I said, why? He says, well, I mean, I'm doing Karwa Chauth. I said, why are you doing Karwa Chauth? He said, why is it that only ladies have to do for their husband? Wives have to do for their husband. Even the husbands can do for the wives. I said, all right. What can I say? The point is, according to the terminologies, Ardhangini is a term used only for ladies. Men are never called Ardhangini. It is a special benediction given by Krishna, by the Supreme Lord, that all the mothers possess. They can understand the mind of their husbands. They have that quality. Specifically, if they are very chaste to their husbands, they know the mind of their husbands very easily. So Mother Sita knew. And therefore she took off her own necklace of beautiful pearls and offered it to Lord Ram so that he could give it to Hanuman. She said, after all, everything that I have is yours. And what is this necklace compared to you, my dear Lord? You are my real wealth. Therefore, please, don't worry. No, she was thinking that Lord Ram must be worrying. My God, Sita is giving away a necklace. Afterwards, she is going to always nag me. Where is my necklace? Give me another necklace. So she is very intelligent. She says, please don't worry, my dear Lord. You are my real wealth. Lord Ram is pacified. He says, all right. So he hands it to Hanuman. Hanuman takes it and he says, what is this? He says, it's a necklace. So Hanuman starts chewing on it. Shri Hanumanji is chewing on the necklace. Now this is a Lok Katha. It is not there in the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana. It's a Lok Katha, very popular in India. So Hanuman is chewing on it. So Mother Sita, she's taken aback. How would we feel if we hand over our most valuable possession? Mother Sita has done it to please Lord Ram. It is as if she's offered herself something very much dear to her and to Lord Ram. And here is Hanuman taking it and chewing. He puts it into his mouth and starts chewing on it, actually cracking each pearl. So a comment is made, what can you expect of a monkey? What does a monkey know, a difference between a pearl and, you know, any other piece of glass or anything like that? So therefore, if you are handing over something to monkeys, it means we don't value that object very much. And secondly, which is much more dangerous, is you give a monkey once, the monkey takes from you many times later on. Either by your permission or without permission. So it's very dangerous to allow monkeys to give them something, keep them at a distance. So Maharaj Yashoda is, here is Krishna. I mean, there's no end to his naughtiness today. You know, at least if it had been next week, then it would have been a new serial, you know, a weekly serial going on. He's doing it not that very day, but it is just going on within that very hour. So she becomes angry. Angry that, how did I allow Krishna to become so naughty? She's not angry at Krishna. Mother Yashoda can never become angry at Krishna. But she was angry that, how did I ever allow my child to become so naughty? That he does not know. He cannot discriminate between what is good and what is bad. I must teach him a lesson. So she ties him up. And as she's tying, her heart is breaking because she cannot. She's never tied Krishna before. So there are two conflicting emotions within Mother Yashoda. One is, she doesn't want to tie her child. And the other is, she wants to teach Krishna a lesson. Now, one emotion that she does not want to tie up Krishna is her own desire. She's thinking of herself. But the other emotion, that I must make Krishna learn a proper lesson so that in the future it is beneficial for him. This is where she is thinking of Krishna, service for Krishna. And being the topmost devotee, that takes precedence. And as soon as that emotion becomes very predominant, Krishna says, all right, tie me. And he gets tied. The knot is tied. Now, this is there. The local Brajavasis tell this story. So Krishna is tied up. And Balaram happens to come into the house before Nanda Baba can come. So Balaramji sees Krishna is tied up. Now Balaramji, he is the Sandhini potency and the Samvit potency both. The knowledge potency and that which supports everything. So anything that is related to Krishna is Balaram. So Balaramji is thinking, oh my God, that rope which is tying Krishna is actually my expansion. How did Mother Yashoda tie Krishna up? Doesn't she know who Krishna is? I cannot do anything because Mother Yashoda has tied up Krishna with her affection. I am completely helpless here. But I must go and teach her some philosophy. Because when one is very much sentimental and emotional, the only thing that works is philosophy. Knowledge. So therefore, Balaramji walks up to Mother Yashoda, and Balaram is what? Only 4 or 5 years old at that time. He's just in his Pauganda avastha, just beginning to reach there. So he walks up to Mother Yashoda, puts his hand on his hips like this, and he says, Ma, what have you done? So Mother Yashoda is busy in the kitchen because she's still cooking for Krishna. So she wants to go on with her cooking. She says, Ram, go away from here. I'm very busy right now. He says, Maya, do you know what you have done? So here is Mother Yashoda. She's cooking and there's some beads of perspiration on her forehead. And because of the flame, there is some heat. And she's also trying to keep her the sari on her head, the end of her sari. As any village woman would do, she's doing all this and she's making something, she's frying something. She turns like this, with one hand controlling like that. She turns to Balaram and says, "What? What did I do? Do you know you have tied up Krishna?" She said, "Yes, I tied up Kanha." "What? Do you know who he is?" Mother Isha says, "You know? You tell me. Who is he?" So he says, "Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the source of everything. All the energies are subservient to him. Everyone is his part and parcel. Everything moving and non-moving is simply happening under his direction. He is the Lord, the master of all that is within the universe, within the creation and without." Mother Yashoda is, okay. This Krishna, this boy. He is a supreme controller, huh? He is a supreme proprietor. Oh. He is a supreme personality of Godhead. Achha. If he is a supreme personality of Godhead, who are you? Now Balaram is feeling a little, how can I speak about myself? He never anticipated this. You know, Krishna's first expansion is also the supreme personality of Godhead, but in the mood of the servant. Everything in this creation, whatever you see, all the various planets, the stars, luminaries, everything within this creation, the energies that are supporting everything within this creation, that is by me, Balaram. I am also the supreme personality of Godhead. So Mother Yashoda says, "Achha." So you are also the supreme personality of Godhead. He is God, you are also God. Mother Yashoda takes up, she is, you know, that fine spoon. She picks it up and she shows it to Balaram and says, "All the incarnations had to be born in my house only, or what?" And she raises her spoon like that. And Balaram understands, "I have to go now. I'll attend to Krishna later on. But right now I have to go." However, for those who have forfeited, for those of us who have forfeited our God-given inheritance of being the residents of Vrindavan, for us Krishna is the supreme controller always. In Vrindavan, his supremacy is overshadowed by the devotee's love for him. But in the material world, everyone is trying to overshadow his supremacy by their own desires of sense gratification. And we are pitifully lacking in trying to do that. Defeated in that purpose. Krishna's energy is very powerful. What to speak of Krishna? Krishna is simply, you know, he's there in Braj. His energy is taking care of everything. So Krishna is always the supreme controller, sarvadhyaksha. Everything is happening under his jurisdiction, his direction. He knows everything. It is by his sanction. In the material world specifically, as Srila Prabhupada is quoting throughout this purport, he is the witness to everything. He is always the witness. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he was quoting that how this concept that Krishna is witnessing everything is sometimes neglected. Either it is neglected because by simply rejecting that Krishna could be a witness, one thinks that one can be the enjoyer. And one can implement one's own laws. Or neglect can be just because of our weaknesses. Because we are very weak spiritually. And because we have these weaknesses, we tend to neglect the quality of Krishna being the witness. Sometimes we think, Krishna is sleeping. You know, he is in yog nidra. He is not watching us. Nidra Devi is... Krishna is enjoying with Nidra Devi. So let him enjoy. Let me enjoy. So we forget that Krishna is always the witness to everything. He is always a sakshi. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtu matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Upadrishta anumanta cha. Another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. He is the upadrishta. He is always the witness. So Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he was mentioning this fact. He said, as a young man, I went to a prestigious college, the Scottish Churches in Calcutta. And this particular college, the professors, they were very strict. They used to follow very strict discipline. They were good teachers. And they were all from, many of them were from Scotland. And there was one particular professor of religion who would come and teach them the Bible. Professor Urquhart. W.S. Urquhart. And he said, he would come and teach us. And sometimes he would start to try to prove that how the knowledge in the Vedas is not really appropriate. It is not scientific. It has no basis. And it says, this professor Urquhart would say, just like the law of karma. The Vedic literature say that the law of karma means in the previous lives one has done certain activities for which one is receiving the reactions in this lifetime. Now we can understand the science of action and reaction. Yes, for every action there is a reaction. That I understand. So there is no flaw in that logic. However, who remembers what activities one has done in the previous lives? How do we know? Who is the witness? Is there any witness amongst us who says, you have done this and therefore you are suffering this reaction, therefore you have got this punishment? In any court of law, it is always demanded that there should be a witness. Who is the witness, they ask. And then the professor would look at all the students there in his class and he'd look at them and inquire, who is the witness? And Srila Prabhupada, as a young man, he said, I knew the answer. But just out of respect for him, I do not want to challenge. Later on, when we grew up and read the Bhagavad Gita, we came to know exactly how to answer such queries. So yes, the point can be raised. Who is the witness? How do we say the law of karma works? In Singapore, one of the devotees was saying, many devotees are there in Singapore, they work in Singapore. So they say that in Singapore, spitting is a crime. Actually, it is a crime. You spit and you're fined. There are cameras everywhere. You don't even know that they are there. Sometimes they are visible, sometimes they are not. So if someone thinks, oh, I have this urge to spit, and they look around, there are no cameras, all right, let me spit. They spit, and within a few days, they receive something from the city council. You have been fined so much. And they also send them what time you spat, something like that. So, yes, we may think that there is no witness. But even we see that in today's material world, there are witnesses. The camera witnesses everything. Not the camera. The camera is an inanimate object, but the whole thing is being recorded and someone is witnessing it. Whether we are aware of it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we think someone is watching us or not. At least in Singapore it works. Similarly, in the West, there are all these cameras on highways. In India also they are trying to implement now. In some particular state in America, the city was going into a lot of debts. A lot of debts they owed to people. Their treasury did not have sufficient funds. So what to do? So they got together and they said, all right, let us install traffic cameras. And very soon they made, the year that they installed all these cameras for catching people either speeding or breaking lanes, whatever, they earned millions of dollars. 2 successive years they earned so much that the third year the people filed a petition in court, remove the cameras. Because the cameras have been installed to make money, not to help us. It was being challenged. And where were these cameras? Or sometimes they are policemen. They are waiting there just as in India. You know, those who are not aware or those who are very, you know, they think they are very intelligent. They try to break a particular traffic signal and as soon as they cross the signal, they are caught in a jam. As soon as they cross the road, right, the four ways, they are in a jam. And that is where the police, the cop is standing. Come here. Oh, what did I do? Kahi nahi, pauthi bada. Pay fine. I did not do anything. He said, I observed. I observed everything. Similarly there, they have these radar guns. They test, oh, you're speeding too much. Sometimes you pass under a overbridge and you are looking, are there cops? Are there cops? There are no cops. All right, let us speed. And suddenly from behind you see this, you know, car with this blue light coming in. Cop comes, stop. Sir, you are going at 86 miles per hour. Fine. And you cannot argue with them. They just give you, you know, it's a letter to appear in court. They don't even take money there. It's to appear in court. So even in this material world, we find that whether we accept it or not, sometimes we know that we may be caught. But this urge or this belief that I know better, they will not catch me. Or just the urge to break laws. It's so strong, so powerful that one lands in trouble. So as witness, as Sakshi, Krishna is watching each and every single activity of us. Every single thought is being noted by him. Sometimes it is found that witnesses can become hostile in court. Krishna never becomes a hostile witness. He is always a neutral witness. He never takes any sides. He can never be bribed. He cannot be challenged. And is never wrong. Therefore, those who understand that Krishna is the witness to everything are very careful. We are not saying that we immediately can become perfect, but we are careful to increase our perfectness day by day by day by day. Every day, we try to become inch a little more closer to the fact that, yes, Krishna, I accept you as a witness to all my activities. And thus, I will perform my activities in knowledge. Understanding that you are there observing everything. Now, Krishna is a neutral witness. That does not mean, just like in court, You know, witnesses are there. But what is their power? They may just come and they say, I observed such and such person, and that is it. They just give their account, their witness account, and that's it. They do not have more power than that. After that, the power is vested in the judge or the police department to act on the witness account. Therefore, this word, Sarvadhyaksha, is very important. It means Krishna is not just a powerless witness. And he just witnesses and says, yes, sir, now you have done all this, I'm going to send you to Yamaraj and he'll mete out the punishment. Even Yamaraj has his powers from Krishna because he's Sarvadhyaksha. In other words, Krishna is a potent personality. He is a witness and is also the sanctioner. And herein, Srila Prabhupada tries to clarify a second controversy that may arise. If Krishna is the witness to everything and is a sanctioner, that means he knows that someone is going to commit some sinful activity. Why doesn't he stop him? How come Krishna sanctions? And in one lecture, Prabhupada, in a very simple way, he explains it. He says, sometimes a child is so much pushing, I want to do this activity, I want to do this activity, and he's really very much adamant, that in disgust, the parent says, all right, go ahead, do it. A child is just going on, I want to do. So other says, go, do. So when a living entity is really very much adamant that everyone wants to do sinful activities, you know, there's this, we as young students in school, we used to have this moral science lesson. We used to have this subject called moral science. And there was some lesson on conscience. There's a tiny voice within your heart that tells you, don't do. That is a conscience. And we used to, like, everyone was, what is this? A tiny voice, all right, I'm a big person. What is it, tiny voice to? So Krishna, there is this, he gives us this knowledge. But when a person is very much adamant, even after understanding, hearing that voice, but because of previous, you know, sanskaras, because in previous lifetimes there have been so much addiction to sensual life, that try as we might, in this lifetime it is so difficult to keep away from it. Papam charati purusha. Kim? Why does a person commit sinful activities even though one knows that it is wrong? Krishna. Arjuna is asking Krishna this question in the Bhagavad Gita. So when such a person is very adamant, so ultimately Krishna says, all right. Now from another point of view, consider a jailhouse. And there are two criminals. And one criminal is trying to cheat the other criminal. You know, make some money out of him. One chore is trying to take some money out of the other chore. They're both in the jailhouse, in the jail. So the person who gets cheated, he starts complaining. Why didn't the police stop him? So the constable comes and says, what do you expect among chores? What can be expected? So similarly, this whole world is a jailhouse. And all of us, because we have rejected Krishna's laws, we have rejected Krishna, we are within this jail. What can be expected other than every one of us trying to cheat? And still Krishna is trying his efforts to somehow or the other make us see reason. But for those of us who are very adamant, Srila Prabhupada explains, And what does Krishna do? He says, all right. Do it. Try to cheat your other person, but you will be punished. You will get the reaction for it. Thus, someone who does not listen to the laws of Krishna, Prabhupada says, as an adamant child, Krishna, as a disgusted parent, says, do it, but learn your lesson, at least learn your lesson. Although Krishna as a witness seems to be, you know, he seems to be like a figure who's to be feared. Sometimes children, you know, when they are, one boy is gets a little disturbed with one of his friends, another boy says, Mummy ko bata dunga, dekh. So is it like that amongst devotees? I'll tell Krishna, all right? See, Krishna is watching, huh? Be careful. Is it like that? Because Krishna is a witness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a hint as to how, as a witness, he has another aspect to his personality. A very beautiful aspect. He says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyasti na priya. Generally, as a witness, I give action for whatever activities you do. I sanction. I have seen those activities and I sanction the reactions. Yes, these are the reactions that you are supposed to get. Ye bhajanti to mam bhaktya maiti teshu chapya. But for those who are engaged in my devotional service, I take special care of them. And this aspect can be understood through Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Lord Gauranga, when he appeared in Navadvip, Bengal, for almost 16, 17 years, he covered himself from others. No one came to know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, except a few ones. There was one Brahmana who came, and Lord Gauranga showed, as a young child, he showed his form to that Brahmana. Otherwise, he did not. Then one day he went to Gaya. And there, such a transformation took place within him that when he returned back from Gaya to Navadvip, he was constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And crying tears and showing all signs of ecstasy on his body. Sometimes when he was chanting, he would fall down unconscious. Sometimes he would be stunned. Sometimes he would run like a madman. Sometimes he would cry in such a heartbreaking manner that devotees, they did not know how to pacify him. Kotai Krishna, Kotai Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? I saw Krishna, but then Krishna went away. Where will I find Krishna now? In this way, devotees were days together, they were just in the waves of the Lord's ecstasy. Devotees, they were simply immersed in that wonderful ocean of Lord Gauranga's ecstasy. And it was then that it was revealed to the devotees that he is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them within their hearts knew, somehow or the other, they were thinking that he must be someone special. Maybe he's the Supreme Lord himself. However, it was confirmed after Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya. The devotees, this is our Supreme Lord. This is Krishna. But try as they might, the devotees could never get Lord Gauranga to agree, even once, that he is the Supreme Lord. Nor, as much as they wanted to worship him, Lord Gauranga would never accept their worship. as a Supreme Lord. He is, in fact, worship his superiors, his seniors. Even those who were his friends, he would embrace them and he'd cry. He'd say, you have so much love for Krishna. I have no love for Krishna. Your whole life, oh Gadadhar, oh son of Madhav Mishra, you are so fortunate. You are always faithful to Krishna. I was a drunk. Then one day, Lord Gauranga came to the house of Srivas Thakur. He went into his temple. There, on the throne of Vishnu, Lord Gauranga sat down and he roared, worship me. First, the devotees were stunned. What did he say? What did he say? Everyone was looking at each other. And again, the Lord roared like a lion, worship me. Immediately, there was a flurry of activities. Devotees ran here and there to gather whatever items of worship they could get. How can you gather items of worship within a moment? So then they had an idea. They took their pots. They formed a line to the banks of the Ganges, collected water from there. And with those water, the ambrosial water of the Ganga, they started doing Abhishek of the Lord. They started chanting prayers, glorifying the Lord. They started doing kirtan for his pleasure. This went on for 21 hours. It is called the Sapt Praharya Leela or the Mahaprakash Leela. And within this Leela, something very, very astonishing happened. Suddenly Lord Gauranga started roaring. Where is Haridas? Where is Haridas? Bring Haridas to me. And Haridas Thakur was somewhere in the corner because Haridas Thakur would always feel, I am most unqualified to be in this association, this Sangam of devotees. I am a Mlecha, I am a Yavana. I don't have any love for Krishna. How can I have any love for Krishna? I was born in such a low class family. My activities are low class. But I'm so fortunate that devotees allow me to be in their company. So let me stand on the periphery and just worship these devotees. So Haridas was way back in the, way in the back amongst the crowd of devotees. Suddenly the ocean of the devotees, the crowd parted. It gave way and Haridas Thakur was standing right there. Haridas Thakur had to come forward and the Lord said, Haridas, do you remember when you were being beaten in the 22 marketplaces because that king, simply to pacify the envious Qazi, he ordered you to be beaten to death. And you were constantly chanting the names as you were being beaten and beaten and beaten. And when I saw that they were beating you so demoniacally, I was there in Vaikuntha. Lord Gauranga had not as yet appeared on the earth. He was still in Vaikuntha. He said, I was in Vaikuntha. I called for my chakra. I wanted to rip off the necks of those executioners. But then you prayed, my dear Lord, they are ignorant. They do not know. Please forgive them. My hand would not move. My hand wanted to move, but the chakra would not move. So great was your compassion for these executioners whose only mission then was to kill you. So at that time, I came and covered up your body with my own kanti, with my own body. And Lord Gauranga then removed the upper cloth and he turned around and whiplashes were seen that had cut through the Lord's skin on his back. There were welts, red, torn skin. And when the devotees saw this, they were crying. Haridas Thakur fell down unconscious. My dear Lord, you are so merciful. My dear Lord, oh dear Lord. And after that, Lord Gauranga gave mercy Gauridas Thakur. Then Lord Gauranga started roaring again. He looked in the crowd and said, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, you taught me. You are my teacher in school. You are my first school teacher. Remember when in the dead of the night, there was torrential downpour. The river was in spate. Ganges was just breaking her banks and flooding everywhere. Suddenly the news arrived. The Yavana soldiers are arriving. Fearful for your family's protection, you took your wife and your two daughters and you tried to seek shelter. The only shelter was on the other banks of the Ganges. So you went to the river bank. And there, in a hopeless situation, with the Yavana soldiers coming from behind, the Ganges in spate, in flood, and no boatman in sight, you simply broke down and started calling out my holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. And right then, a boatman appeared. He asked you, "Oh Mahashay, do you want to go across?" And as if a lifeline had been sent unto you, you thanked him, and along with your family, you entered the boat and went across. Do you know who that boatman was? That was I. I came to protect you and your family. I descended from Vaikuntha to protect you and your family. And then he gave mercy to Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And again Lord Gauranga wrote, Srivas, Srivas. Sometimes out of love he would call out, Srivasiya, oh Srivasiya. And Srivas, he came forward with his head low. Because Srivas was seeing the Lord giving mercy to everyone. And when he called out his name, Srivas was feeling so unqualified. He said, what pious activities have I ever done? It is simply the Lord's mercy that he's calling me to. So he came forward. And he said, Srivas, do you remember? Once in Kulia, in Koladweep, you're walking across the street and suddenly you heard a discourse on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is your life. You love the Srimad Bhagavatam so much. Whenever you're in distress, you just go and take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you heard the Srimad Bhagavatam being recited and the person speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam, you entered that assembly. And Krishna's pastimes were being narrated. Just by hearing those pastimes, you could not control your emotions. You went into ecstasy. You lost sense of external consciousness and fell down unconscious. And feelings of ecstasy manifested. You started shaking. There was froth within your mouth. Your eyes were rolling. This was the Sabha or the Bhagavat Katha of Devanand Pandit, the great Pandit, well-known reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he saw you in this ecstatic state, his students thought that you were a cheap imitator. You're someone who was after some cheap profit and fame. You're impersonating the qualities of a devotee. And thus, they picked you up and threw you out of that assembly. You are not aware. But after some time, you came back to worldly consciousness. And you found yourself lying there in the dirt. And you were feeling ashamed. What did I do? How did I show my emotions? And you were also a little dejected. I was thrown out. Finding no other shelter, you went back to your house and opened the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as soon as you read the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately your heart was pacified. I incarnated as the Bhagavatam, as those words to pacify your heart. Do you remember that, Srivas? And then the Lord gave mercy to Srivas. So for devotees, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, the Lord is the witness. He was a witness to Ganga Narayan's predicament. Even though he was in Vaikuntha,
He was there witnessing. He was a witness to Srivas's dejection. The Lord was a witness to Haridas Thakur being beaten. Whether it is very grossly observable or even any subtle phenomenon taking place, the Lord is always the witness. And for devotees, Maiti Teshu Chapya Aham. The Lord takes special care. His form as a witness there, or his personality as a witness there, is slightly different. Therefore, one must not be fearful of the fact that the Lord is a witness. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture gives the example. He says, as soon as a person sees a policeman, if he's a thief or a culprit, he becomes fearful. But if he's a good citizen, he feels secure. Ah, here's a policeman. Our neighborhood is secure. It is peaceful. Similarly, for those of us who do not understand the supreme compassionate nature of the Lord and only think the Lord is the supreme judge, he just metes out punishment or enjoyment, then the Lord appears to be somewhere holding a thunderbolt. But for those who understand the Lord is a witness, but also our protector, he is witnessing all our activities, our situations, and providing us the means to become more surrendered to him. For those devotees, for those souls, the Lord is someone who is holding a soft lotus flower in his hand. Very fragrant. And finally, the pastime of Sakshi Gopal is there, where the Lord is called a witness directly. The Lord has been called many names. He has been called Ranchod. He has been called Parthasarthi. He has been called friend of Arjuna. And is also called Sakshi Gopal. Now Gopal means a cowherd boy. A cowherd boy. I mean, a cowherd man is big. And cowherd people, they are very simple people, a simple, you know, clan. However, he is Sakshi. Witnesses everything. And Sakshi Gopal is the deity who specifically to be merciful to his devotee walked all the way from Vrindavan in Nadan and towards the west of India, all the way across India to Vidyanagar, which is on the east coast and in the south. Just because his devotee said, my dear Lord, there is a slight problem and you have to come as a witness. Because in your presence, we made certain resolutions. There is no other witness but you, so you have to come. And the Lord said, I cannot come. He said, why cannot you come? Because I'm a deity. So, well, you see, I always stand. I don't move. Deities don't move. They cannot walk. So he says, deities do not talk also, but you're talking. So you can talk, you can walk. So in front of such logic, so the Lord said, all right, I'll be a witness. But then the Lord said, it's a long walk. I'll get hungry on the way. This is a poor Brahmana who's requesting the, and he's really wanting the Lord to come as early as possible and resolve the dispute in Vidyanagar on the east coast. And the Lord says, "I, what about my food? I got hungry, you know." And the Lord said, I'm just a simple Brahmana. What can I give you? He said, all right, just give me one man rice, you know, some rice, this much. That is all that I will eat. I'm not asking you for chappan bhog or anything. Just some rice and some salt. He said, all right, I'll beg for rice and then I'll cook for you and then you can have it. In this way, they walked all the way to Vidyanagar. And there, the Lord served as witness to their dispute. So, the Lord is a witness, definitely. He's a very potent witness. He observes everything, so he's always awake.
He is also the sanctioner. He can act on what he witnesses and give us the reactions. For a devotee, as a witness, the Lord provides a means by which a devotee can take more shelter of him and be protected. And sometimes, just because the Lord becomes a witness, he has to undergo the trouble of walking and eating just rice. So unto such a Lord, we offer our obeisances. Namaha. I offer my obeisances unto you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande. Please remember to offer some prayer for our Trivikram Prabhu. Hare Krishna.